So
Naomi definitely does have a heart for Cambodia. Maybe just a tiny bit of comic relief, but I can attest to it as one day I came home from work and she was suddenly very passionate about what was going into the garbage and recycling. Because as you may or may not know, the UK doesn't recycle most of its own recycling. They sell it off to other countries, and so it was a big deal that China doesn't buy it from us anymore. And so now it goes to Cambodia. And the reason that Cambodia gets paid from the UK to take it is because they don't actually recycle it. It costs a lot to recycle it, so they pile it up and it ruins local people's lives. Not too close to the speaker or anything, anyway. So yeah, I really like how God has put me and Naomi together in a way in missions, because we come at it from pretty different angles. Those of us that know, sorry if it's repeating anything, but I think it's good to have that all-encompassing vision of what mission is. And Naomi started to touch on it a bit, but my own testimony personally about what God's done in my life is very much from the other angle. So very briefly, just to give you background on my life, I grew up in a Christian family. Certainly wasn't a perfect family, and that's had its own bumps and bruises, but I went through going to church and thinking I was a Christian for the majority of my life. Where God's salvation actually lies in that, I think it's all quite a complicated theological discussion, but all I know is that I was not living my life in a way that Jesus Christ was the Lord of it. So getting to high school and realizing there's no point in lying to myself, stopped going to church, didn't really embrace that much anymore. And long story short, again, going to the pits of despair, just trying to pursue all satisfaction in this world, all fulfillment in this world, and the things that I could possibly want in this world, and all that the world tells you you should want, and obviously that not bringing satisfaction in the end. Thankfully, God never let go of my life, and He did turn me around. And I was at this point in time in university. I think I was between my first and second year, something like that, and just completely turning my life 180 degrees, wanting to say, all that I've been pursuing, all that I thought that was worth my time is complete rubbish. Obviously, I need to put that all in a dumpster, light a match, burn it, and go convert a bunch of people to Christianity. But my testimony is more along the lines of, God can use you wherever you are. Sorry. So, I don't have a whole lot to share for my own words. But I want to, like, go with the words for itself. So yeah, I just had to share some of the scripture that I was going through in that time, that God leading me on this passage of how He brought me to missions and ultimately to the Christian life that He's brought me into. So just bear with me. I won't do a whole lot of explaining. I'll just read the word and then maybe talk after. Sorry. You know, I had the references up. So Luke 9:23-25. Much help.
Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self?
And thus the sentiments of wanting to completely
throw everything in the dumps and
devote my life to Christ. Of course, it's a bit more complicated than that, isn't it? So Luke 12:21, and you can probably see the picture he's starting to paint in my mind. Oh, sorry, not just 21, but Jesus is telling a parable. Then he said to them, watch out, be in your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. And then who will you get? Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for all who store up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. And I love the very next thing that it goes on to. Then Jesus told his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about what you will, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap, they have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies of the fields grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom, and these things will be added to you as well. And then jumping, of course, to 34, which is kind of my main theme for life, I feel, at this point, is for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So up to this point in time in university, I'd spent all my time and invested tuition to become an engineer. I didn't have a certain specific calling to be an engineer. My father was an electrician. I worked for him. It seemed a natural course to go through. I knew that you graduate, you earn a whole lot of money right away, or at least you do in Canada. And I was good at it. I liked that I didn't have to write any essays. I could just crunch numbers, and it all made sense. And I was ready to drop out. I was getting ready, all the paperwork to drop out, and didn't know what I was going to do, but I just knew I was surrounded by university professors and people who were all telling me, you're going to earn a lot of money, you're going to get a lot of money, and it was all about the oil money that's going on in Alberta. And as I was about to drop out, a friend of mine came back from the ship. This was a fellow named Adam Hearn. And just so happens he was on the Doulos at the same time that Naomi did her short 2 or 3 month stint on there. And Naomi wound up being very close friends with his sister. And he goes to my church and everything, so very small world. And I think just a testament that God has things in his hands. But he came back and I listened to his little message of what he did on the ship. He was a plumber, of all things, for a lot of it. And as I was sitting in my basement at home, about to drop out from university, I got curious from the little message that he shared in church. And I just did a quick Google for this ship. And went to the website, and on the front page there was a big bold letter saying, urgent need required for electricians and people with electrical engineering experience. And it just blew my mind. Because something that I thought was the most worldly thing, something that is what pagans chase after and stuff that I have to take and say, you know, be Amish or something and go live without a car, is the very thing that God needs to build his kingdom in this circumstance. And I prayed about it and talked with very wise people about it, and God gave me vision, which I think is the very most important thing in this circumstance. He gave me vision and he gave me heart for using skills that I thought were wasted, that I thought were just invested in myself, invested in this world, that I, rather than burn that and start from scratch, God can use all things for his glory. And that's the amazing miracle that is beyond what we can see or imagine. So, needless to say, I was excited by that. And it was a lot of hard work. I was only in second year university, and we do have university for 4 years in Canada. So I finished my degree. I kept working through the summers, finished my degree, all with the idea of of joining the ship. And I did, in the end. And just touching on that as well, 1 Corinthians 7:20, I love this, and I don't feel like people talk about it very much. It's very much in the context of marriage, where he's saying, you know, the difference between a woman who becomes a Christian and married to a non-Christian man. It's in that context, I'll say that caveat. But he also goes on to talk about the situation of, you know, if you're a slave and you become a Christian, well, you know, you should still remain in your circumstance. And that's ultimately what the verse is, 7 verse 20, is that each one should remain in the situation he was in when God called him. Mm-hmm. And I think that I just don't want us to be fooled by, you know, this preconception of what being called is. Sometimes, yes, called is going to the other side of the world. And you, I mean, I think we live dramatically different lives anyway when God calls us, but it doesn't necessarily seem that in the world's eyes. You become a different person. Christ is inside of you. It doesn't mean that you're changing your job. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're changing your geographical location. So these are the things that God was reminding me of. And Colossians 3:17, that whatever you do, whether it's in word or deed, do it all for the glory of in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just opening my eyes to see that it doesn't have to be wasted. So we're just talking about the practical things for a second. So yeah, I joined the ship, and they give you a bit of training, and then they split you up into departments. What Naomi touched on was a lot of what the ship does. It's the why the ship is doing what it's doing, but it's not how the ship is doing what it's doing. So Naomi and most people that join the ship go for the why and the what it's doing. They go because we want to go and build water purifiers for people. We want to sell books to people in the Arab Peninsula. We want to go and talk to people and share Christ in a country where that might be illegal or anything along those lines. But I'm probably part of the 5 to 10% who said, I'm going here to make the ship run because you need electricians. And so whether you like it or not, you join the ship, you work a 40-hour work week, probably not doing what you were expecting to do. So Naomi didn't mention it, but she was in the kitchen, pantry, for a bit. She was glad to get out of that pantry, and then she started doing events catering. And then ultimately they recognized her gift as a videographer, and she started working on the media and things for that. And that was her regular 40-hour work week. Outside of that, when you're doing evenings and other days in the week, that's when you do the things that they show you in the pamphlets. But it's beautiful because it's just like church, right? Like what you see on Sunday, what you see, you know, for the a couple hours of heat wave or something, you know, that is what we're doing. We're doing it for these people. We're doing it because we need to come together and build each other up and be fed the word of God, feed each other and embrace each other. But there's a whole lot more that goes on behind the scenes that you're probably seeing the 5 to 10% of it. But I don't have to tell more than half the people in this room, because you're the ones doing it as well. Is, you know, you're the ones showing up. The reason that this building is warm is because I know somebody was here making sure it was warm long ahead of time on the first really cold Sunday that we've had. It's just one small example. So, you know, it's nothing to be ashamed of, and it's certainly something that should only be applauded, but more often than not, it's unsung heroes. And I don't want to ramble on too much more, but that's really the heart behind what I'm saying is, maybe you're like me. I'm not somebody who could easily be a street pastor. I could easily be there with a smile on my face and show people where the bus is or something like that, and I would quickly grab coffee and hot dogs or something for the people who are able to be that bold and share the word of Christ on a dot. I believe that he can do that with anybody, and he has. I will testify that he's done it with myself when I least expect it. So I would never put myself in a pigeonhole saying that it's impossible. But it's not what I would initially seek out. It's not what I feel. Like, God gives us a different heart, a different vision for different things. And he might not necessarily give you the vision that you're expecting is the traditional thing with missions. But I would just encourage everyone to say, what is your role in missions? I think all of us have a role in missions. And it's not, we're the ones here and then those are missionaries. We all know there's people that go overseas. We know there's people local, people in the church. But every single one of us has some role to play in missions. And like we said, that's something that we struggle with right now because we're used to being on one side of it. And now we're very much kind of in the everyday living of it. And I believe we all should have a heart for people coming to know Christ. I think that's a given. And I might be so bold to say for myself, I sometimes feel like I don't have that passion. It's probably ultimately sloth, but I want to get on with things. I might be working very hard, but I want to get on with this life. I want to pay my mortgage. I want to make sure my bills are sorted. I have to renew my visa in 3 months. Evelyn needs nursery school sorted. I should be able to pay her nursery school fees. I just realized we're a bit overlaying on that right now. There's so many things that can distract us. There's so many things to keep us busy, but I think just remind yourself where you want your heart to be, and then just remind yourself to put your treasure there. Because it's very easy to look at that one way around and say, his heart isn't there, so of course we wouldn't expect his money to be there. But think, where do you want your heart to be? Who's the person you want to be? What are the things you want to have a passion for that God is probably stirring up in you? And put your treasure there. Whether your treasure is time, your skills, finances is a big one. And I guarantee you, God promises that you will not be in want. If anything, we all have too much right now, and God itself, you just gotta let it go. And He's gonna give us those things and more. So that's really, I don't know if you can see the way that I'm tangentially tying that into missions, but that's what He's done for me. And I don't know where we are now exactly. Don't know where we're going to be in 5-10 years' time. But He'll probably surprise me. And we just need to keep investing that treasure where it matters. Because it's so pointless to put that in the earth. And there's a lot of need that are right there. A lot of people that can do so much with just a little more of what we can give. So I just encourage you in that. Whether it's your time, skills, or finances, and so on. Maybe I'll just pray to end it if that's not too soon. Yeah. Dear Lord God, I thank You so much that You are the God that sees all, that You know every bit of need that exists in this world. Father, Your children who are crying out in need every day, Father, they're not far from You. I thank You that you are close to us as well, that You have a vision for us, that You have a purpose for us, that You do not see us as unusable, but that You have a plan for every single one of us, that You know exactly how we can embrace the call that You've given us to broaden Your kingdom, Lord, to glorify Your name ultimately. And I thank You most of all that You know what's good for us, and You know this is ultimately for our good as well. So I pray that You would help us to open our eyes to what it is You would like us to do, to the vision You want to give us, and give us the courage, Lord, to embrace that. Just thank You for Your goodness to us. In Christ's name. Amen.